Last night, the Baltimore City Police Department's consent decree monitoring team held their first quarterly community forum to update the public on their progress and take questions from the public. WIPR's Dominique Maria Benessi was there and is now on the line with us now. Good morning, Dominique.
Good morning.
Well, let's first start with where this meeting took place. It was Mount Pleasant Church, yes?
Yes, the meeting took place at Mount Pleasant Church. That's 6000 Radke Avenue, the same church that the funeral service for BBD homicide detective Sean Suter took place back in November. Suter was shot and killed last November. You know, as we know, the BBD has yet to find his assailant. Shante Guy, one of the monitoring members and the executive director of Baltimore Community Mediation Center, reassured me that she was not aware of the funeral had taken place when she made arrangements at this church. But one of the residents did mention that the location of the church is right on the Baltimore City County line and a little bit difficult to get to using public transportation. Guy also said that these residents' concerns were heard and that for future quarterly meetings, she would take into account those who are using public transportation to get there.
Now, the monitoring team obviously has a laundry list of items they need to look at, but what are their main priorities?
So the main priority they started with in the first year monitoring plan was looking at the transport vans. As we know, there was a transport van used in the in-custody death of Freddie Gray, which brought about the Department of Justice investigation and now the consent decree. Hassan Aiden, one of the members of the monitoring team, described what they did in January.
We inspected 16 of the 20 transport vans for equipment, both restraint equipment, safety equipment, and video equipment.
These pieces of equipment that Aiden mentioned were all previously brought up in the court and disciplinary trials of officers involved in the Freddie Gray case and used as evidence for lack of equipment and policy for officers driving vans. Now, for more than a year, officers have been receiving training on driving vans, and video of inside the vans must be kept for more than 1 year.
Now, following the systemic corruption revealed in the Gun Trace Task Force trials, were any of their priorities dealing with accountability, misconduct, and use of force?
Right, so those were right up there with transport vans. A few steps the monitoring team mentioned were One, looking at new policies to which then they would evaluate, not only would the monitoring team evaluate them and the judge, Judge Bredard, but also allowing the public to look and critique each policy as it is written. The monitoring team did say last night that those policies and the ability to give feedback on them would be available on their website. And this is something that is unique to the Baltimore consent decree, that residents would have the ability to critique each and every single policy. In other cities, the consent decree monitoring team mentioned they don't give residents the ability to critique every single individual policy. To contrast this, one resident, Gabriella Roque from Casa de Maryland, asked how they can change policy without changing the culture, which she's saying is the root cause of issues plaguing the department. Charles Ramsey, one of the monitors, used an analogy to explain confronting the cultural change and needing to look at policy in tandem.
But you got to start somewhere, and you can't shove the whole pie in your mouth at one time. You take a slice and you get started, but that pie's still sitting there, and believe me, you can look at me and tell I like to eat, okay? I ain't stopping until I finish the whole pie.
He essentially is saying that, as you're hearing, again, there are a lot of issues, but slowly, he's saying we need to address the culture change to where officers are actually holding each other accountable for their actions and standing up for the values of constitutional policing. But again, saying it's going to take a long time, of course, to eat that whole pie.
Now, we know that in addition to police corruption in the Gun Trace Task Force investigation, that brought up an issue of residents reporting complaints about officers and never being resolved. Did the monitoring team say they could do anything about those issues?
Yes. So we heard from Erica Hamlet last night. She told her story of her son being put at gunpoint in his front yard by an off-duty Baltimore City police officer in Howard County. She then filed a complaint at BPD headquarters where she said she was laughed at by officers and told at least her son didn't die. When she went for the interview with BPD, she says she felt like she was a criminal, and she picks up her story here.
The verbiage that was used, the language that was used towards us. When I asked questions, my questions weren't answered. Since November, I've heard absolutely nothing from Internal Affairs.
Hamlet has yet to receive any information or resolution to her case by the Department of Internal Affairs Unit. She does not know whether or not the officer is still patrolling or not. The monitoring team said they were reviewing Hamlet's case and others like it. The consent decree requires that complaints made about officers should be resolved within 90 days when the complaint was filed.
Now, I guess, importantly, where do they go from here?
From here, the monitoring team, Friday, April 13th, will be holding a hearing with Judge James Berdard at the U.S. Courthouse on Lombard Street in downtown Baltimore to update him of their progress. That meeting is open to the public, and the next quarterly meeting will be in July. But again, these issues are not going to be solved overnight. The monitoring team is telling residents that BPD is not in compliance with the consent decree, but they're working towards it slowly.
That's WYPR's Dominique Maria Benessi. Dominique, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.